This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Thanks for joining us this morning. I hope you had a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. Incidentally, did you know that Thanksgiving didn't become a national holiday until 1789? You know, like 168 years after the Pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock? I'd like to begin this Sunday after Thanksgiving message by reading a portion of President George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation that actually started our annual holiday. This is what he wrote. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, he continues, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. You know, it's pretty apparent that our nation's founding fathers were not only men of God, they also recognized the importance of gratitude, including gratitude to Almighty God for the opportunity to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. See, they didn't want us to forget that God is the author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. And the reason this is so important is that an attitude of ungratefulness is always followed by degeneration. And one of the causes of ungratefulness is the absence of God in our lives. So the progression goes like this. No God produces ungratefulness, which causes degeneration, which results in an unholy life. One of the best loved Thanksgiving hymns was written by Martin Rinkert during the 30 Years' War in 1637. Rinkert was the pastor of Eilenburg in Saxony. And although the city was heavily attacked, it survived to become a haven for refugees and wounded soldiers. In fact, the population doubled, then doubled again. And as you might expect, the food and water supply was soon almost gone. And what little there was became contaminated with rats and insects. What was the result? A plague. A plague swept the city. And for a time, Rinkert was the only pastor there. And if you can imagine this, he conducted as many as 50 funerals per day. And it was in these circumstances that he wrote his hymn, Now Thank We All Our God with Heart and Hands and Voices. Who wondrous things hath done in whom the world rejoices. Consider also the Pilgrim Fathers and mothers, when they celebrated the first Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, really? How could they give thanks? I mean, they had suffered terribly on their long journey to freedom, which began on the English countryside and ended on the rocky coast of New England. One of the boats they boarded at New Amsterdam, the Speedwell, It almost fell apart when the trip had just barely begun. So they had to turn that boat around, and those who still had a heart for the voyage crowded into the Mayflower. Well, they ran into terrible storms at sea. They were forced to stay below deck. They were short on food, short on medicine. I mean, the sanitation and ventilation were poor. The smell was bad. And by the time they celebrated that first Thanksgiving, after their first harvest season in the new land, fully half of their people had died. I think we can all appreciate the hardships these people had to endure. But the astonishing thing is that through it all, from the English countryside to the cold, rocky New England shoreline to the first Thanksgiving Day at Plymouth, the book of Psalms was their prayer book. They offered praise and thanksgiving to God every step of the way. As they sailed from home, they praised God and thanked Him for whatever was ahead. Down in the hold of the pilgrim ship, when it looked like they were not going to make it, they sang songs of praise and thanksgiving. In the middle of all the danger and suffering, their spirit was one of thanksgiving. They were praising and thanking God even when they didn't feel like it. Well, our Bible lesson for today is found in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, where the Hebrew people have spent 40 years wandering in the Sinai desert after escaping the slavery that they were under in Egypt. And now they're standing on the borders of Canaan, the promised land. Moses is an old man by this time. He's about to die. And so he gives the people instructions for how they are to deal with this new phase of their existence as a people. These instructions could be directed at us. I mean, listen as I read a portion of Moses' words to his people. He said, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills." You know, it's clear that God is leading them to a very special land, a land which Moses later described as flowing with milk and honey. Actually, it sounds a whole lot like our land, doesn't it? Think of how we've been blessed, not only with staggering affluence, but peace, security. I know this past year has been difficult, but we'll make it through, just as we've made it through difficult times before. We as a people and as individuals, we've received a multitude of blessings. I mean, just consider, if you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're more blessed than the million who will not even survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, the pangs of starvation, you're ahead of 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you're more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. If you have food in the refrigerator and clothes on your back and a roof overhead, a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, in your wallet, you got spare change in a dish someplace, you're among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. If you're over 30, and either of your parents is still alive, you're very rare. Over 1 billion people are orphans by then. If you hold up your head with a smile on your face, and are truly thankful. You're blessed because although the majority can, most don't. If you can hold someone's hand, you can hug them, even touch them on the shoulder, you're blessed because you can offer God's healing touch. And if you can read the scripture we just put up on the screen, you're more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world who can't read at all. Without a doubt, most of us are greatly blessed. Now listen to this warning, though, that Moses gives to the people of Israel. He said, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God." Hey, this warning is clearly targeted towards us as well as the people of Israel. When your bank account grows large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you'll forget the Lord your God. See, this is what our founders were talking about. And it's a warning that's not being heeded as it should in our nation. And we're seeing the consequences. See, it's important that we demonstrate our gratitude to God. And we also need to express our gratitude to the people around us, especially those people who have blessed our lives. You know, parents and spouses and mentors and close friends and teachers. I mean, the list could go on and on. Those who have played a positive role in our lives, they too deserve a word or a gesture of appreciation. And most of us know this. I mean, even the hardest heart is usually grateful for the good things of this life because it's human nature to be thankful for what's good. However, only those who are right with God will do what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. And you know why God wants us to be thankful? It's so we can move toward holiness, which will allow us to be with Him. For you see, with God, the progression goes like this. God, gratitude, regeneration, holiness. We must understand that gratitude or thankfulness moves us in the direction of holiness, which is a requirement for entering the presence of Almighty God. Now, I want to quickly point out that giving thanks to God in difficult times should not be confused with giving thanks for difficult times. I mean, we're not to be sadists or masochists who thank God for the tragedies and troubles caused by the sin and disobedience of humans. I'm reminded of Matthew Henry. He was the Bible commentator. He was mugged once, and he later wrote in his journal, he said, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my money, they didn't take my life. And third, although they took all I had, it wasn't much. And fourth, I'm thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing." What an amazing attitude. Even after being robbed, he found not one, he found four things for which to be thankful. Now, knowing to thank God in our circumstances is not the only lesson. We also must recognize that there is always something for which we can be grateful, and that kind of gratitude can be a powerful witness. I mean, For example, when non-believers see Christians rejoicing for good health and prosperity, they tend to want the things we have. But when non-believers see Christians rejoicing in times of suffering and need, that's when they'll tend to want our God. And just so you don't forget, let me remind you, don't worry about getting people to like you or like your church or like your pastor. Our goal is to get people to want our God. In addition to this, there's a principle I want to share with you. And this principle is mostly ignored in our world, but it is a life changer. And here's the principle. If you think you deserve what you don't have, you eliminate the potential for gratitude. I mean, instead of saying thanks, all you're going to say is, it's about time. When you finally get what you were expecting, you're not going to be grateful. Gratitude's not even present. And this becomes very important when we realize this adjoining principle. Are you listening? Gratitude is the basis for joy. Do you get it? No gratitude equals no joy. Have you ever wondered why you don't have the joy you used to have? Maybe it's because your expectations have changed. One of the greatest lessons a person can learn is that it's not happy people who are thankful. Instead, you'll discover it is thankful people who are happy. Well, you may say, okay, Pastor, if being thankful is the key, just what should we be thankful for? Well, for one thing, we should be thankful for the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is the reason for the Advent season that we begin today. Incarnation means God revealed, and Advent means arrival. Therefore, we're preparing for the arrival of the revelation of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 continues and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, the Word is Jesus. So the first verse could read, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Wow. In that one verse, number one, we find that Jesus existed before creation. Number two, we find that Jesus is himself God. And we see that God is more than one. There's a Trinity. So we should certainly be thankful to God the Father for the gift of eternal life made available through the incarnation of his Son, Jesus. And another thing to be thankful for is the inclusion into the family of God, me included. You see, when you were born the first time, you were born to your earthly parents. But if you've been born again, you've been born of the Spirit of God. And this means that God himself has become your heavenly Father. You're now part of God's family. And the third thing we should be thankful for is the inheritance of the saints. That's a reward that cannot be earned. It's a gift that can be given because someone else did something. And that someone is Jesus Christ. He paid the price for me. You see, I don't get an inheritance by being energetic. I may, however, get an inheritance because my grandfather was. Right? And it's because of what Jesus did that makes it possible for us to have an everlasting reward. Do you realize there's just no way for us to ever repay the Lord for all He's done? Maybe this will help explain it. Have you ever considered just how much a billion is? Well, before you use that word again, you may want to consider just what an exaggeration a billion really is. A billion is 1,000 millions. A billion seconds ago, World War II had just ended. A billion minutes ago, Jesus Christ was still on the earth. McDonald's has sold over 25 billion hamburgers, and that's over 200 pounds of meat. Hey, suppose you ran a used Camel lot, and beginning in 1 AD, you began to lose $1,000 a day, every day. Well, you're going to have to continue to lose $1,000 per day for another 718 years until the year 2738. That's how long it'll take for you to lose your first billion. Let's talk about the national debt. The government spends well over $1 billion every day. The U.S. government is in debt for trillions of dollars. Now, a trillion is 1,000 billions. A million millions. So tell me, is that big? Well, church, the debt we owe Jesus is even bigger. It's beyond measure. A trillion thank yous wouldn't be enough to repay Him. But a life of gratitude would be a good start. One Sunday, a man stood in front of the congregation and he humbly announced that he and his wife wished to donate $5,000 toward the new church building in memory of their son, who'd been killed in the war in Afghanistan. In the back of the room, a woman nudged her husband and quietly whispered, "Let's do the same thing." "What?" he whispered back. "Our son wasn't killed in the war." "Yes," she said, "I know." Are we truly thankful for the price we didn't have to pay? Are we remembering to be thankful for the price Jesus paid? Are we showing our gratitude now, today? Or are we so wrapped up in ourselves and in our own lives, in our own plans, that we've just pushed God into the background? Let me close with a short story. The man said, "This is not a slip. This is lingerie." And he handed the slip to his sister-in-law. It was made of silk and trimmed with fine lace. The woman glanced at the price tag. Oh, it had cost lots of money. Her brother-in-law explained how his wife had received the slip. He said, "I bought it for her the first time we went to Paris. That was a dozen years ago. She never wore it. She said she was saving it for a special occasion. I guess this is a special occasion. He took it back, laid it gently on the bed with the other clothes. Later, they were going to take them down to the funeral home. He touched the soft material for a long moment. Then, looking up through moist eyes, he said, "Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Every day you're alive is a special occasion." Listen, friends, if you are ever going to do anything for a loved one, if you are ever going to give thanks to God for His blessings, you'd best do it now. Don't wait for a special occasion that may never come. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, the key word in these verses is rejoice. The root word of rejoice is joy. And remember, the basis of joy is gratitude. Christ came so that your joy may be made full. So be thankful. And there's no way to be thankful without actually and actively thanking the one who's responsible for all you have, all you do, all you are, and all you will ever be. And His name is Jesus. Will you say it with me? Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, You alone are worthy of our praise. We come before You now with grateful and joyful hearts, saying thank You for every blessing, every ability, every opportunity, and most of all, for the gift of eternal life. We recognize our tendency to forget, and so we humbly invite Your Holy Spirit to do whatever is necessary to keep our eyes on You. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.